Hey, welcome to another episode of Character Revealed, that show that reveals people's characters. It's an interview show. What a great concept, right? Once again, it's me, your host Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the internet. And once again, I am joined by my intrepid co-host. Would you like to tell the people who it is that you are?
Hey, y'all. Well, I'm Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, Snowqueer on Tumblr, Hello Steph on Instagram. You know, I've got diversity in my screen names. And like he said, it's an interview show, and we have another really cool guest today. A pal of mine who is a photographer and a makeup artist and a bunch of other cool things. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Hi, I'm Lee of Avant Garden Arts, a multimedia arts company focused on, as Steph said, photography, also digital art, painting, and video editing.
Just a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything.
Just kind of dipping your fingers in all of the different cool art things.
I see one creative thing that I haven't tried yet and just go manic and dive into it for...
Grabby hands.
Exactly.
Let me at the art.
Hit me.
That's cool. The thing. Yeah.
But before we dive into everything, I feel the need to ask people, how are you both doing today? How's your days going?
My day's good. I'm glad we rescheduled this because I was not doing good last week when we were supposed to talk.
Same. Mine has been great. I've just been watching a lot of YouTube and like petting a cat. It's been really chill.
If this only is a dream life. I wish I could pet a cat.
I have good news for you about the way pet adoption works, my guy.
But that's a task that needs done first. I just want to skip to the
petting a cat part.
Yeah, it's like I want to pet a cat. No adoption, just pet. You know, I want to get to that part.
Just like DoorDash pets.
There is no reason why that's not a service that exists. The world has failed us once again. Silicon Valley, what are you doing?
Capitalism has failed. This is how we know.
It's like I feel about all that Disney stuff. If you're gonna run the world and have all this money and all these weird like capitalisms, like why can't I pet a cat on demand? That's all I want to know. This experiment has failed.
It's time for socialism where I will be able to get a cat to pet on demand.
That's all I ask for. I mean, I ask for many things, but right now that's all I ask for. So yeah, Lee, you are an artist, and that is fun for us to talk to. We've talked to many different creators of different types, artists of different types. But it's nice to talk to somebody who just says, I do all the arts. And, you know, we want to ask you some... you know, more in depth and, you know, get to know you questions, but I want to get with, you know, some of the more daytime radio, nighttime talk show questions out of the way. And is there a medium you prefer to work with or one that you specialize in?
Imposter syndrome has me saying, oh, I can't specialize in anything.
I was like, man, you specialize in imposter syndrome.
Yeah, exactly. I'd say like when people think of what I do, they think photography. So I don't know if I would consider that my specialty, but it is a substantial portion of my quote brand unquote. And so that's been a focus for a while now.
Okay. And is that something I guess the question I would ask is there one medium or one part of your art that leans more towards business and one that leans more towards hobby, sort of that way? There's always
the thing you do for fun, like versus.
Yeah.
So I think I'm in a fun position where it's, I can find a way to monetize everything that I do creatively.
Man, the dream. The millennial dream.
I can see that other people want me to monetize it. But I think that like all the facets of the different things that I create are ones that where I have done them as a dollar generating thing. There's not really one where it's just like just a hobby.
Gotcha. So it's like I got into this and was like, hey, I could do this too.
Exactly.
Okay. Cool. So I guess to follow down this train of questioning, not to be too interrogating or anything like that, I know there's a lot of different genres or mediums of photography as well. Not so much film versus digital, but such as, you know, sports photography versus portraits or landscapes in nature. Is there one that you sort of either purposely or accidentally lean towards?
I purposely very much lean more towards portrait and I want to feel like very avant-garde about my portraiture. Okay. Hence the business name. So yeah, portrait photography is definitely my focus.
And you do, but you also do a lot of like really cool, like, it's not just like, I'm sure that like you do make some like side chain just being like, here's your headshot for business, but you do like a lot of really cool, like creative portraiture too.
Like, thank you. I've done like some headshots. I mean, everybody who is doing photography for currency does the whole headshot thing, because it is a good way to, you know, to make money if people don't want to pay for the like odder creative
kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like there's the stuff that I do that like really sets my like heart ablaze passion wise and then there's the stuff where it's like, okay, this is how I'll like pay my rent this month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I'm like so always just impressed by anyone who makes their living off of creative stuff, because like, boy howdy, I worked at a small business for a while and I was like, this is too I need regular, like I need a corporate structure to handle these things. Like, how much like does the business side of like of work and stuff get like does it interfere? Like, is it something that you enjoy doing? Is it something that's like a tedious task but like not terrible? Like,
so I went to my undergrad was in business management.
Oh, perfect.
which really has helped tremendously. I mean, I was going, I was in school like well before social media was like really the thing. Mm-hmm. for marketing. So I think that my marketing knowledge in like the current day and age is probably my weakest point. But in terms of the like spreadsheets and financial stuff and like figuring out pricing strategy, that's like actually something that I'm relatively comfortable with.
Nice. I like that like, and I say this with full like I got an expensive degree in English and now work in publishing, one of the lowest paid industries in the world, like white collar industries. But it's, there's some sort of like fun irony to the like, oh, I got a business degree, you know, that thing that like guarantees you'll always have a job, but I'm also going to work in a creative field that like is a little bit like work for myself in a creative field that is a little more like fly by the seat of your pants, like see what I can do with this or that. Like,
oh yeah, no, I dropped out in what I dropped out of college, like I don't have a degree.
Okay.
And like immediately started working in like an IT and mm-hmm. like it became like soul crushing. So I was like, okay, what are these skills that I can do that like
that I do have?
Yeah, exactly. That don't require me being like on the phone to like folks who don't know what a password is, who are going to yell all day. So I've been really lucky to be able to transition into the work that I'm doing.
Nice. And
I was going to say, it's a very interesting concept to hear people sort of taking where they got either their degree or their training or whatever their skill set is and changing that to a different path that uses the same skills. And I'm always just curious about people's journey of, you know what, I don't want to do this soul crushing thing anymore and I want to move to something specific. And when did you feel it was the right time, if at all, those sort of things, those sort of discussions?
I was working for redacted government agency.
smart.
And got a death threat from a caller.
Oh.
And that was the nail in the coffin in terms of me wanting to work any kind of corporate IT situation. But really, the challenging thing for being like in IT is if you don't have certifications, there is no upward momentum. So it's a lot of like contract work. So it's like every 3 to 6 months you're unemployed again for however long. And I didn't like feeling like I was, that my livelihood was depending on other people's whims.
That's fair.
And then the pandemic happened. So I'm going to collect unemployment for a while and like try and start a business. And that's where I'm at.
We'll see how that goes.
Mm-hmm. I just want to wonder how many, this isn't really a question and you can get to your stuff, but it's just a weird thought to think of how many origin stories of positivity or negativity are going to have as a major chapter. And then the pandemic happened because I suspect a lot of memoirs will have this as a very huge life-changing point, if one were to put it that way.
Think about like all the biopics that are going to happen like 20 years from now about, and there's going to be a pandemic section in all of them.
All of them?
Like,
I believe Taylor Swift will have a very good one. I mean that fully unironically. If I recall her last album cycles before this one, she was kind of losing favor very quickly. And then the pandemic happened. She said, yeah, screw it. We're all stuck at home. I'm going to make some happy cottagecore music. And everybody loved it, including people that were far from her demographic as you would think.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think I stopped listening to Taylor Swift in, like, 2010. And then, like Folklore and I'm blanking on the other
Evermore?
One. Sorry?
Is it Evermore?
Yes. Like, they happened and I'm like, oh.
Like, hold up, wait.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, wait a minute, what's happening here? I like this. And it is amazing, like, just how much of like a transformative experience the pandemic has been for so many people.
It's been like a really funny, like we keep having to have discussions in like my regular work life about like, because I do children's books, and like people are like, well, should this contemporary book address the pandemic? Like, at what point do contemporary YA novels, like ones that we're signing up now that come out in like 2023, like, do we just pretend this is a world where there's no pandemic? Like, at what point do we start incorporating real life into the book?
Like, right. like TV shows and stuff now are like, nobody's wearing masks on shows, and I'm wondering how much our media is going to, like, from books to shows, etc., is going to just try and retcon this period of time.
We just retconned reality.
There's one notable example that proves what you're saying, which is that my roommate adores trashy medical shows.
That's like the one I was thinking of, I bet.
Yeah, like the Good Doctor, and like God, there's one that's named after like a hospital in the Bronx or something, but like those kind of things, like they're all like, today we're gonna deal with the pandemic. But even then, they're like, they have, because they're acting TM, they have to like take down their masks to talk to each other and stuff. And it's like, you're just modeling worse behavior. Just pretend it doesn't exist.
Yeah, it would have been better to just pretend it didn't exist. Oh, no.
Oh, my God. I was watching, like, Fringe. It's like a show on Fox in like 2005. And I was rewatching it this year. And there's an episode where they were talking about like this airborne disease that at that point in time was like confined to just one office building, and they were like saying, if this gets out, like the entire population of the planet will be dead in 3 weeks. And I'm like, well, that was a lie.
Oh, it is like, geez. I've seen blowback to it too, and people are saying, I don't want this in my fiction, and other people are saying, but it feels more real if this is supposed to be reality. But I don't know. I know animation, at least Bob's Burgers, they did like a short that was, hey, this is like in current times with COVID, like all the characters were wearing masks, and that was obviously what was happening. But the creator said, you know, we don't want to dwell on that, and we want to tell stories that maybe people can have escape from in this animated sitcom. So we're just going to act like it's not happening, but we've done enough to acknowledge this sucks, stay inside, be safe. Now here's some cartoons. And I guess it helps cartoons because people don't age. So like this contemporary thing could have been last year. It could be next year. It doesn't actually, there's no time period that puts it right now in 2020. So I think that helps as well.
Absolutely. Like part of me is like, okay, but art should imitate life. And then the other part of me is like, art is escape for people.
Right.
Like there was that meme that was floating around that was like, you know, when the world shut down that everybody turned to art. And I'm not sure that anybody really, at least in the earlier days, would have wanted to see stuff that was reflecting the like apocalypse, which by the way was supposed to be zombies, and I'm really let down.
Sadly, like I say as cautiously as possible,
we don't still know an opportunity. For sure. Everyone's talking about like now you have to wear like two masks because there's multiple strains and stuff, and like
there's still time for zombies, I guess.
There's still time. But at least the first year of this apocalypse proved to us who would not hide their zombie bite.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are just the anti-mask people.
Yeah.
I didn't get bit by a zombie. I just, I'm just sweating a lot.
It's just allergies, guys.
Oh, yeah. That bite mark that's very clearly visible on my arm, that was like a stray dog that, like, I encountered. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
And then one buddy in the party's like, yeah, I got bit by that same dog, too, and now I have rabies. Like, we're not zombies. We're just dying. Like, oh, no, that's... I forgot about other viruses. That's totally it's a very, could be a very dark joke to put in an already dark setting.
God. Well, there's also like one of the things that's also come up with the like, should we or shouldn't we include it kind of art is like, I had one submission where the author was talking about how they really wanted to include the pandemic in their setting because their character, it was about like Black queer teens, and they were like, the pandemic has like affected this demographic way more, and I think it would be a disservice to set a book in right now and not address that. And like there's value to that too, but it's also like I'm a very escapist reader and viewer of things.
Then there's reality TV, particularly my partner and I watch the Bachelor franchise, and that exists in reality. So people have to quarantine at home, and then when they get to the place, they're quarantined there in separate rooms with constant checks. And they talk about these things that happen in their real life, but also the way it looks as if there's no pandemic. So like all the contestants and the lead are all just intermingling and stuff like that. And the people that are brought on as guests aren't wearing masks, but all of the production crew is. She's like, so wait a minute, this is clearly happening during a global pandemic, but these people have sequestered. So like, it's a weird mix of art imitates life is imitating nothing. This isn't real life. It's just a made up thing that's actually happening. So big shrug. That's all I got is big shrug.
Like existence is full on in like uncanny valley territory.
It really is like, cause like it just feels like, I don't know whether it fits like fakey to make it more realistic or like my roommate loves those corny medical shows because they are corny and bad. Mm-hmm. But like every time that the episode is like, this is the week that we address like menstrual care or something like that. This is the week that we're going to like focus on COVID. Like, it's like, you're not going to solve everything. Like in this 45 minute like scripted drama, like it makes it almost cheesy.
Yeah.
Instead of serious.
Yeah, but like that one time Dr. House cured asexuality.
He did what? That happened.
Yup.
Oh, that's boy.
Totally a thing that happened.
Yup. What a take. Like, some things just don't age well. My God.
No. It's especially on things that were like either like semi-problematic and semi-progressive depending on the day. Like, it all just aged badly.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me feel bad because I just imagine Hugh Laurie saying those things sometimes. It's like, no, Dr. House said them. Hugh Laurie is an actor. He's just a guy.
It's like, I don't know whether he's a good guy or not, but Dr. House, we know, is an asshole.
What a weird premise. Everyone always makes fun of saying, oh, people just idolize Rick Sanchez, but he sucks. It's something like, that's just Dr. House. But Dr. House, like...
That's just if Dr. House was a scientist instead of a medical doctor. And also had blue hair and was a cartoon.
That Dr. House was a cartoon. He's a cartoon of a man. I stand by that. We have strayed far from anything resembling our topic.
Lead. Wait, I'm going to pivot. I'm going to pivot. So we were talking about, like, kind of like being serious and doing activism and stuff in addition to like your regular work. And I know that you do, you work with the Lancaster LGBTQ Alliance.
So yeah, in 2019, I was working for the Lancaster LGBTQ Plus Coalition.
That's what it's called.
Yeah. And that was honestly an amazing experience because we built it from nothing. And now it's like, it's doing, like they're doing amazing things. I'm like, now I just host two different, support/meetup groups. So I'm a little bit sort of more on the edges of things there compared to how it was in 2019. But they have like a new housing initiative that they've put together. Like grants for folks who are having financial difficulties right now. Like it's been amazing to be able to watch that grow.
Yeah, man, 2019 was the last time I visited Lancaster because pandemic. So I'm pretty sure that was like, I was like around, like, because our mutual friend Izzy, who has also been on this podcast, was like kind of helping with like brainstorming some stuff for it. And so I just kind of tagged along with him because he's always in 1,000 meetings, even when I come to visit. So it's just like, cool, I'll just follow you around. I'll drink some coffee whenever. Like, hi, I'm Stephanie from Brooklyn. Pretty sure I definitely have like a shared Dropbox folder with him because he was like, take some pictures of this like vision statement planning and send them to me, will you?
Did you get like co-opted into being Izzy's like secretary for the day?
Basically, like in the most loving way, but yeah, so it's like been amazing because like I was in like that little office that had it was just like a bunch of empty rooms and like a fridge that had some coffee creamer in it, like, and like seeing that grow into like all the stuff that like you and he share is just really cool.
It's been really awesome. And now like they don't even have a physical location, which like it's really amazing to see how they've transitioned from having the brick and mortar space to being able to do everything online. Like, and it's been amazing to see that for like every industry, really, how they've been able to adapt. Well, except for the service industry, but
yeah.
that's tricky for sure.
Yeah.
And so the like meetups you do are like, I know I've seen the videos, and these are related to the coalition, right? The ones where you did like a Keith Haring painting.
No, that's
there, or is that something else?
That's just me doing that on my own. So it's art, like an art and artists series. I'm in like the planning stages of what direction that's going to be taking. And so I, in the week before, watch entirely too many documentaries about specific artists and then go live and talk about them and then do a piece that is like inspired by the way the research on them has impacted me. So the first one was on Yayoi Kusama, who has the permanent installation at the Mattress Factory in Pittsburgh and a bunch of others. And then the second was the Keith Haring one. And so next I'm going to be doing one on Basquiat. And then after that, I'm really looking forward to, I'm going to dunk on Warhol for an hour.
Amazing. This is how Warhol made me feel. I took a shit on the canvas. Ha. Like, I don't know how strong you feel about, about Warhol, but...
Yeah, stay tuned for an hour of me talking about art theft and the pointless nature of pop art while being a pop artist.
We love to see it. Cool, yeah, that's... I don't know, I was just like, I see like all this different stuff you're doing on Facebook and on Instagram and everything, and I'm just like, oh man, that's what I was like. I was like, you know what, Lee would be a great guest. Like, she does amazing things. She's out here grinding.
Like, you don't know how to relax.
Like, but I feel like you've taken like the millennial stereotype of like monetizing all your hobbies, but like successfully, like to some extent. Like, I'm not gonna say that you're probably not just like us, an anxiety riddled like being of like a, like, I don't know, like depression and anxiety, but like it seems like you're actually like really really making it work, like kind of doing that, monetize your hobbies.
You know, like the internet is just like is a facade. I haven't really gotten out of bed too much in the last couple weeks, but
it makes you feel better. I haven't put pants on since last Monday.
Oh, God. So I put on pants for this because if I'm not wearing pants, I can't be productive. Like,
that's fair.
I can't do anything in sweatpants. Like, I can't do it. So I'll like ask my therapist to unpack that for me at our next session.
Why is it that being comfortable makes me unproductive?
Yeah.
Good question.
Must I suffer to create? Like,
yes.
Basically, yes. The answer is, as with all art, yes.
Creation is suffering.
It's like our it's our motto. You have to suffer for your cosplay, whether it's pinning needles through your fingers or wearing something that doesn't quite fit, or maybe it's just, hey, I'll do this tank top costume in the middle of Pittsburgh March where it's freezing cold outside. Some level of discomfort involved with your cosplay, and that's not only the rite of passage, but the energy that sustains
it. I'm telling you, cosplayers are like some of my heroes. Like, I know folks who can put together an entire costume in like 12 hours or like 3 days because they just don't sleep and are like shotgunning monsters while like putting their fingers together, and it comes out looking incredible. And I'm over here like, I'm afraid of the presser foot on my sewing machine.
But you have the. You say that's, yeah, one, why you gotta cheat. Like, hot glue is your friend. I once actually, speaking of cosplay and pain, hot glued. My friend wanted to, we needed to put like a line down the side of a pair of leggings, but I was worried that if I did it while it wasn't on her, that it would be weird because it's, they're leggings and they're stretchy. And so she put the leggings on and I hot glued the band down the side, like trying my best not to like push it against her leg to, we were just like, yep, this is cosplay. This is what we do for our cool costumes.
Why not just wear pants underneath? They'd still stretch some, right?
Don't use your logic on college-age Stephanie.
Also, the leggings might have then gotten glued to the pants that were underneath.
There's the point. Yep.
Yeah, but it's not your leg, though.
Yeah, but your leg, you can pull it off, you know?
Yeah, like, free wax. That's the other half of the cosplay, I suppose.
Yeah.
Cheat and just try to make... like, can I make a costume that's just clothes that I can just pull out of the closet and wear again? And half the time the answer is yes, and the other half is that one time I made a Homestuck cosplay that I wore for an hour by drawing a marker onto a t-shirt.
Even though he's never read Homestuck and not it, like, why was that? Was that the Dave thing?
Yeah,
was that when you were like Dave but you had like a yellow do-rag instead of a wig?
Yeah.
That was amazing. And,
like, you were sick that day or something, so, like, or we just didn't have time, but, yeah, I wore a cosplay for about 2 hours.
I think that might have been the con I got food poisoning at.
I think so, yeah.
Food poisoning at a con?
They're, like, at the Columbus Convention Center, there's a huge food court, and some of the places are, like, Subway and Charlie's, and some of the places are, like, a mysterious place called Chicken and Egg. I don't know. Would one of them, the chicken or the egg, gave me food poisoning?
I'm sorry, that's not funny.
It was very hilarious in retrospect. At the time, it was not as great. You have the, like, like it's I feel like it's very like a never the twain shall meet, and like that the person who has both skills is like the avatar of cosplay. Like being a makeup artist and being like a cosplayer, there are very few people for whom that intersects, and so like we just kind of like envy each other. because like I'm one of those people who can throw a costume together really quick, like, but I cannot like put eyeliner on in a straight line, but like so I'm like always very in awe of like your like all of your makeup, like makeup artist posts, like even if it's just like, yeah, like I threw this lipstick on today to go grocery shopping or whatever, even though I was gonna wear a mask because makeup's for me, fuck you kind of thing, like
thank you. Okay, which is like that's so accurate that it almost feels like an attack, because I do that exact thing and put on lipstick before going grocery shopping. And it's not even like because I want my lips to look cute or anything. It's that I can never find my chapstick, and like lipstick is the closest thing I've got. but I actually started doing makeup artistry when I was like 14. So when like it's not that I'm just like naturally good at this, or that it's like something that other people can't learn how to do. It's just that I have been like practicing this thing for like how old am I, for like 16 years now, like it's been a journey, trust me. I still cannot get my like the wings of my eyeliner even, which is like why every picture is taken from like a three-quarter angle, because like I know what side of me is going to look cute day to day. Like nobody else needs to know what's going on that side. Like one side of my bronzer is like impeccable, and then the other side is just like, oh, we're drag queen now. Okay, cool, cool, cool.
Which are both good aesthetics, but they don't fit each other, I guess.
It's like you want them to match the sides.
Exactly. Like I'm trying to have that like nice glow. I'm not trying to like fulfill like the 50-foot rule from theater.
That's another good thing in cosplay. It just has to look good from a distance or in a group.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about what the back looks like, because no one's ever going to take a picture of the back.
That's the key stuff.
Oh, God. Tips. I had a moment with that like when I shaved my head a couple years ago. And then like I was in a crowd shot for a flag raising for the coalition, and I didn't realize that I have so many cowlicks on the back of my head that it looks like I'm experiencing male pattern baldness. So I'm never shaving my head again.
Just like it was just like buzzed and just like all little swirls.
There were like 7 cowlicks. Like, I zoomed in to count them because I was like, am I balding? No, I just have very strange curl pattern. Okay.
I made my roommate do my, like, undercut buzz for the first time. In forever, like, it was so shaggy and bad. And she, like, it was the first time that she had ever, like, held clippers. I was like, I am giving you these. There's a line. There's a straight line where the long hair starts. You just have to go up to that. Like it's gonna be okay. And the next day she like I had it pulled up, and she was like, there's like an entirely bald spot on the back of your head. Did I do that? And I was like, nah, it's probably just like a birthmark or something. And like when I took a picture of it, I looked at it and I was like, no, you know what that is? A couple like a year ago probably now, something like one of the like framed, and this is the most tragic thing about it, a framed piece of Adventure Time lesbian art fell off the wall and hit me in the head, and the glass shattered all over my lap and my body.
Okay.
And it cut the back of my head, so I have a little tiny scar on the back of my head where no hair grows because this fucking Princess Bubblegum and Marceline picture fell off the wall.
How ironic that only queer people are hurt by queer art. It's kind of telling. It's good. It's just us. It's for us, you know?
Izzy just made a post on Facebook that was, tell me something about yourself that sounds totally made up, but is 100% true. And
And you were like, are you
that in the comments, I will find a way to get
like, are you just trying to answer that post out loud while we're recording? It truly, like, so much, like, can't make this shit up. Like, but yeah, so I have a little tiny, like, upside down teardrop shaped scar on the back of my head where no hair grows. And that's it's because of that.
What a great story. Like, that feels like a superhero, like,
my really gay origin story.
Well, yeah.
I was smacked in the head by magic lesbians. Now I have superpowers.
Oh, what? Like, sounds like a dream come true, honestly.
Like we said before, everything is going fine. You know, you have constant, consistent haircuts. Things weren't falling on your head. And then bam, pow, the pandemic happened. Origin story completed.
In my memoir.
But where are the superpowers?
Yeah, where are my fucking superpowers? I am waiting. I am in need.
I mean, I think there's a queue. I mean, I got mine last December, so.
Okay, what'd you get, though?
You know, I can't really talk about it, you know, based on the meetings in the Black Coalition we're not supposed to share. That was a top-tier meme from last year. I'm not going to lie. That was...
Oh, good.
There were
some excellent memes as, like, fucked up as the year itself was. The meme content was...
Like, what, months back to back? It feels like it's been, like, half a year, but it was just December that we had Black people getting superpowers. And I'm still, nobody knows why that lady was saying that, but it probably had something to do with, like, the solstice or something. And then January we had, like, Bernie gloves. Like, we had a big meme for every month. So what wildness is February going to bring? Who knows? Anything could happen.
Oh, God, February's already got, like, that Jason Collier thing, like... The cop in Texas who had
17 girlfriends.
Yeah, and like two or three fiancés. That's been a trip.
What have I been saying? We need more poly cops.
That's representation.
that's terrible.
God, no, it's like we need more. We need more Black and female prison guards. You have missed it by so far.
Okay, but what if we just abolish the whole system?
Exactly.
Well, here's why that'll be good. Because we'll have, like, an equal representation or ratio of marginalized people. If there's no prison guards, we're all at zero. And isn't that equality? Basically, it is. Mathematically, that makes everyone on the same footing, and I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, Dom knows math. He knows what's his.
It feels so shitty to be like, I can tell people I've forgotten more math than a lot of people know, but the problem with that is all that math that I forgot just puts me back on the level of like, I know what you know because I forgot everything I was supposed to learn. I barely got out is the moral of this story. It was very hard and I shouldn't have done it.
I was like, I have one hobby. I was like, I cracked open textbooks from college because I was like, you know what's going to help me unwind? Calculus.
What? And
you know what I don't remember how to do?
Calculus.
There was so much of college.
Man, derivatives are really the thing that's just gonna like, gonna kick back with a glass of white wine and a calculus textbook.
No, you don't understand. That was like rolling with engineers and stuff. That was like their no. I'm not that drunk. I could still like do derivatives. And I'm like, everyone can do derivatives like of that like.
Everyone can do derivatives at that level.
X just goes to one. We all know that. Like that's the first thing they taught us. Like. You're extremely drunk. I know that because I'm extremely
fucking
drunk.
Bush League calculus.
Let's go to day two.
I can totally still find the area under a bell curve. It's fine.
I can't. And that's how I know. But I'm not drunk because I never knew how to do that. That's why it was so hard. I don't even know what a parabola is.
The one that goes whoop.
Doesn't it go woo? Like, doesn't it go up and down again?
That's something else.
We're making really great audio.
I I remember when I was younger, I didn't understand this concept because I was like too young to be watching this show. But back on BET, there was like Comic View, like comedians would, you know, do a showcase. It was like any other Comedy Central show, but it was for black people. Hot concept, I know. And this one guy was talking about some calculus that he had learned, and I believe the word, forgive me if I'm wrong, math people, I believe the word was asymptote.
Asymptote, yeah, something that's not touching, but like it eternally approaches, but without touching.
I
thought that was the butt of the parabola was the asymptote. Am I wrong?
I don't know if that's different, actually. I think that might be similar, honestly.
Yeah, cause the point, yeah, because that's... I took Calc 101 over two semesters.
Yeah, so
don't talk to me about it, but tell me about
the root of the joke was just basically he's like, I couldn't understand the concept of something always approaching a number but never quite hitting it.
Oh,
until
really?
I had to like pay off my the limits, like, until I had to try to pay off my bills, and then I realized I'm constantly never not in debt. It was like something along those lines of like, you still owe us money, like okay, it keeps getting closer and closer to zero, but it never hits it. I don't know how it's possible. Math class.
I paid off I got my one of my very, you know, important tax documents you get. I got one from my one student loan servicer that was like, you paid $4,000 of interest this year. And I was like, this loan, when I took it out in 2009, was $5,500, but now I owe $6,500 still on it after I paid $4,000 worth of interest last year.
That's why
you should be able to tell them to apply like your payments to the principal of the loan.
Right now they will because of COVID, I know. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Isn't math a joke how that all works?
Yeah.
Good thing we're all creators here and use math on a daily basis.
Also, I just learned this fact and I want to pass it on. I said like Bush League earlier and I was like, oh, I hope that isn't racist. And it turns out that it was just a mean thing that they used to call non-professional baseball teams.
Oh, yeah. Do you know why they called them that?
Just like because they were rural.
Oh, okay. I didn't know the origins of that.
Provincial,
it was about George Bush.
That's a different kind of Bush League. That's a terrible...
Oh my god.
That's the war criminal version of Bush League.
He was a rural guy, right? That still fits in a way.
Yeah, he's from Texas, right?
Texas is a large place. Yeah, I heard you don't mess with Texas. There's like a squirrel from there. That's a...
I think his name is Bucky. I'm not joking.
The
mascot.
Oh God, there's a mascot squirrel that you
I was just making. I was just making fun of Sandy Cheeks from SpongeBob, but yours is probably accurate.
cool.
How dare you know real facts?
I totally got that reference.
I had a question about the makeup stuff you were talking about before. So there's we've been watching Peacock over here. NBC streaming service, which is free for some reason, and doesn't have as many ads as you would think.
Here's a quick question about Peacock. Isn't that the streaming service that like rates what tier if you do pay for it by like how many parts of The Office you can watch?
I have no idea, but that's the service that would be able to do it because they're the ones who own it. And Face Off has been on a little bit, that the makeup competition show.
And not the Nicolas Cage movie?
Not the Nicolas Cage movie, the vehicle. Produced by John Woo, I believe. I can't remember who directed that movie. Anyway, do you do any sort of like special effects makeup, or are you more of just like day-to-day makeup? Do you do like artistry with that? Or is it more of just like touching people up for portrait kind of things?
Actually, I prefer to do like weirder looks.
Hell yeah.
And for a while I was like doing stuff on myself earlier in like the pandemic. And like I made like construction paper lashes that were a foot long for a thing.
But nice. Like,
that shit takes so many hours. And so I just haven't. But the answer to your question is yes. I love to like doing makeup is like a painting on a 3D canvas. So anything that I can do with it, I'm going to have fun. Unless it's on myself and takes 4 hours.
That's fair. Have you, I guess this question doesn't really work so well because of current times. But did you ever really get chances to do like special weird things with other people, like to, for events or plays or anything like that?
So I haven't done like stage, like makeup in since college, probably. I did design the makeup concept for a shoot series that was actually supposed to be displayed in August of 2020, which obviously like did not happen, which was called the Words of Affirmation Project. And so I designed the makeup concept for that. And the way that worked was there was like a dark side, which was like negative self-talk or negative things like that mentally ill brains will tell us about ourselves. And then the flip side of that was the, was like a light side, which was like, my color concept was with that was very like, very spring, very like, it was lots of like pinks and things that felt more lightweight, visually. And then before that I did a couple videos, that were, like based on a theme, created a character. So I did a space themed one and created this like floral alien. Okay. Yeah, it's so, but no, not since, not so, since
like my gender, the floral alien.
but it's been a bit.
Yeah, I was just curious about that. Cause I know that, things have changed for creators of different types. For podcasting, it has been not much has changed on our end other than people being home a little bit more. So having maybe an hour extra free time, but I'm curious about how it affects people who do more physical art, and I guess photography would fall in that. I doubt you're taking pictures of people's Zooms. So,
no, I'm not, but that did have a whole moment at the beginning of pandemic, like where people were doing Zoom shoots. And I didn't do that. When the numbers were dropping over the summer, I was shooting a lot in a studio space that I am no longer affiliated with. But I think I haven't really done any photography in other than a shoot a couple weeks ago. It's been months, and I have not done makeup on anyone besides like myself.
Besides you're going to grocery store lipstick.
Yeah, besides my grocery brows and lipstick, in close to a year, because I'm not touching people's faces, like, absolutely not.
That makes sense. That's a smart thing to do.
What an intelligent and wise decision.
Yeah, I can't believe people would, like, you know, follow good advice. Yeah, I don't have any other, you know, specific art questions. I could go off on tangents all day, though. It's always fun. We talked about, you know, queer stuff a small bit, and also makeup a good bit, as everyone's aware of because they've been listening. So I've been talking to like more friends and seeing a lot more people online get into this. I think since we've all been locked up in pandemic time, a lot of people have taken opportunities to try things that they may not have had a chance to, whether it be like changing things about their hair or trying to paint their nails for the first time.
And questioning their entire gender identity,
or questioning their whole ass gender identity, which is, hey, question on, homies. It's the only person who can answer those questions is you, and you should feel comfortable to do that. But I know some more men have been looking into makeup. Do you have any like tips for people trying makeup for the first time as adults? I feel like there's lots of resources out there for people that are, you know, stereotypically it's, hey, welcome to this teen magazine, here's how you put on your first eyeliner. It's like, I'm a grown-ass adult now. Do you have any like ideas or thoughts about that kind of stuff, whether it be like special effecty costumey or more just want to touch yourself up a little bit?
I think I would apply this philosophy to really trying anything new, which is be gentle with yourself. With trying anything new, there is a learning curve. And if it's not perfect immediately, that's not a reflection on you. That's just it being a challenging thing to try and do. I'd say if, like, for somebody starting doing, like, beauty makeup on themselves the first time, like, match your shade. Like, seriously, like, there are drugstore brands now that have like 60 shades. Like, there is no reason for somebody who's like the color of paper to be walking around with foundation that's four shades too dark and then not blending it. Like, find your shade. They exist. It can be done. Blend more than you think you need to. And don't be afraid to mess up.
Like, that's what makeup wipes are for.
Or just rock it and say it was intentional. Like, it's most of like makeup comes down to attitude. Like, if you end up getting, like, I don't know, mascara on your cheek, turn it into a heart. Like, just make it work.
That's just
it's about attitude, baby.
Rock whatever. And then
when it comes to like trying more like elaborate stuff, like with like effects stuff, all adhesive sucks. And it's going to hurt. Do it anyway.
Okay. I will take that advice. Especially in this month of 28 Days of Black Cosplay as of February, whenever this is released. February is when we recorded it. So I wanted some tips on how to maybe, you know, apply some stuff for different looks, for different characters and stuff like that. So thank you for indulging me in that.
Sure.
Hopefully the listeners... Yeah, that helps too. You know, I know a lot of people are either, you know, questioning things about themselves or just want to try things because they think it's nifty. You don't have to be questioning anything to say, you know what, I think I would look good in eyeliner. I think that's an okay thing.
And you know what? The answer is probably yes, you do, because, like, regardless of gender, pretty much everyone looks good in eyeliner.
Everyone looks good in eyeliner.
Eyeliner is the garlic of makeup. You know, like, it's probably going to work with everything.
Put in more than you think you need to.
Like, you can probably overdo it, but the tolerance of that is very wide. So have fun. That's legit. Steph, do you have any other questions?
No, I was going to ask if so we usually do like a little rapid fire kind of thing that usually we end up like going off on a tangent, so it's not rapid fire at all. But just ask it like a couple like fun like. Nerd questions at the end of thing. Would you be down for that?
Hell yeah.
Cool.
And as a you know, point to you and any listeners who may be new or need a reminder, these aren't to gatekeep or test anyone's cred. It's just to get to know people and ask dumbass questions because it's funny sometimes.
Awesome.
So Steph, you want to kick this journey off for us?
Yeah, so since this came up a little bit earlier, if a picture fell off the wall, a picture of lesbians fell off the wall and hit you in the head and gave you a superpower that was kind of useless, like not the kind of superpower that gets you onto the team, just the kind of superpower that makes you like, yeah, you qualify as a mutant in the X-Men universe kind of thing. What would that lesbian picture give you?
Oh.
It would be funny if it was like the lesbian power to communicate with women.
I was honestly trying to figure out how to phrase that. Yeah, because like, oh my god, talking to men is so easy and all women are terrifying. And all like, well, and all like non-binary people are terrifying to me. So, yes, I want to be able to talk to cute people.
Not to, mansplain or anything, but anything I've seen from like lesbian Twitter is that power doesn't come from lesbians and that they're bad at talking to each other. Is that true?
I don't know. Yeah, it would be like the gift of fictional lesbians who actually manage to talk to each other.
Oh, okay.
Like, because IRL
group on Facebook called Make a Move You Useless Sapphic. like it's not just like a joke, like it's true.
My therapist was like this yesterday, was like, Stephanie, you have to stop using the pandemic as an excuse to have deleted every dating app. Like, like you still like can talk to people.
Yes, you can. I say being terrified to slide into anyone's DMs. It's fine.
It's fine. We're fine. You can. That's the superpower that the Princess Bubblegum gave me.
Wasn't that the plot of an Adventure Time episode that Bubblegum and Marceline wouldn't talk to each other about their issues, and Finn had to sing a sad song so it would actually admit things?
That is very possible.
Pendleton Ward even knew about this. He's a guy with a big old beard. He's quite a manly dude, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what manly is. I say in here with my not manliness. I don't know.
Manliness is a social construct. Nothing is real.
That's true. That's absolutely true. I wish I had a lesbian photo to fall on me and give me some superpowers, because I need many powers.
I thought you got your powers last month.
Yeah, but they weren't lesbian.
Lesbian superpowers.
They weren't bestowed upon me among those gods. Like when T'Challa died and goes to like the purple realm? Uh-huh. It's like, that's like where the Wakandan ancestors are, which is cool, but like, where's my Stonewall ancestors? Like,
you didn't get anything from Sappho, Our Lady of Lesbos?
Yeah, you know, I need that, you know?
Where is Martha P. Johnson with her magic wands to...
Yeah, like, I know some people down the street that have some, like, nice magic wands, but that's a different type, you know? And maybe that's why you need to get to
you live across the street from the Four Seasons Total Landscaping?
I do have the power of puns. Maybe that's what I got. So I got a question then. Lee, are you familiar with Avatar The Last Airbender?
Oh, yes.
Okay, cool. What kind of elemental bender would you like to be, or do you think you would be?
I want to be air. I think I'd be fire.
Okay. Why the difference, if you don't mind me asking?
Because I'm very, like, strong-willed, dive into a thing, like, and can be, like, more aggressive. And something that I've been working on with myself is to try and, like, just overall be more gentle, and a little bit more, like, go with the flow, which I think is, I mean, like, they're based on Tibetan monks. Like, how much more chill can you get? Than like
truly.
So I think that like airbending is goals, and oh god, I had another point to that and I have no idea where I was going. That's fine.
Yeah, totally. Steph, you are up.
Yeah, let's say, do you have a like a favorite like moment that always makes it's like guaranteed to make you cry in something? Like, are you a crier, first of all? Because I definitely am.
I wish I was a crier. Like, I want to cry way more than I do. I don't think that I have cried since March of 2020.
That's fair.
Need a good weep.
I really want to. I want to cry. So badly. I feel like my tear ducts have dried up or something.
That's also
the rare COVID strain.
Loss of taste, dried tear ducts. I there was something I had that I can't remember that was recent, like in the last year, that got me a little teary eyed.
Because you're not a crier either, Dom.
No, but it's been hitting me a lot more recently. I don't know if it's just because I've been getting older, but I saw something that like made me like a little weepy, and I don't even think it was sad, but I think the something in Alice in Borderland made me sad is a adaptation of a manga, and you know how like when you watch a show you're like, oh, something major is going to happen in this show, like just because that's how shows work. It happened way earlier in the show than I thought it was going to, and it caught me off guard, and it was just like, oh no, I wasn't prepared. And then some nice emotion at the end, but I don't think that was, there was something, and I'm never going to remember it because I don't remember things past 2 weeks. It's just,
that's like when you have like, you can set up Twitter so that like your tweets from like a year past, like once it hits a year that like automatically deletes. And so, you know, it's like a good way to like make sure that you're not dwelling in the past to just forget things, organically. As opposed to like chemical or like inorganically,
Your memory loss into a positive.
Yes.
Cool.
I remember the feeling. And I felt alive, and I'm like, oh man, I'm getting like more sentimental, like as I'm getting older. Which I'm not old by any means. Like I'm only 30, but like I'm getting older than like 20, And I was like, oh man, this is actually kind of cool. So I remember the feeling and I was happy about it. I can't remember what caused it because that wasn't the important part, I guess. So yeah, thanks for turning memory loss into a positive.
That's what I'm here for. Was it the one thing that's made me weepy recently is was listening to Amanda Gorman's poem at the inauguration. I was like, I don't give a shit about this inauguration. And everyone was like, you got to watch this poem. And I was like, yeah, I guess. And I was like, oh, this was good.
Oh, I had to go deliver some mail or drop some mail off. So I missed that part. I also got up late that day because I didn't want to watch the inauguration because I was just so sad all the time.
More cops.
Yay, cops. I guess I have a question then.
Yeah, do it. So,
speaking of cops and the world being wild, what's your favorite iteration of Batman's Joker, if you have one?
I don't consume Batman because I feel like his entire like superhero is white and class privilege, and it doesn't really appeal to me.
Understandable.
That's fair.
What about the jerk though? Because clowns are pretty cool.
Are clowns cool?
I don't know.
Is that new?
I'm just starting to be partial to the Joker from the Harley Quinn show, where Batman's just kind of there, and it's the character, like the main characters, like have made comments about like, yo, you're just like a rich guy, like what is this? And it's about like,
where's Harley my electric Quinn. Car, Bruce?
Yeah, that's a great scene where the Joker finds out who Batman is, and first off, he's automatically mad that like I didn't want to know who he was actually, Scarecrow. So thanks for that, but also. Wayne texted they were going to have an electric car by now, and I pre-ordered one, so where's my goddamn electric car, Bruce? It's like, that's a very good point. He's like, forget Batman. You owe me stuff, you billionaire jerk. I think the murder clown's right about this one. You did promise a product, capitalism, man. Meanwhile, Harley Quinn was an Ivy or somewhere else being very happy, and that's why people watch the show. Batman just kind of is there sometimes, so you know, it's a whole thing. More superhero lesbians, please.
Yes.
God, what's another one? I'm going to steal yours, Dom. This one's a two-parter. If there was a movie or show made about your life, who would you want to play you if it was someone else?
Oh, gosh.
And they don't have to like necessarily look like you or anything like you, as Izzy picked for us. Someone who is not of any of his demographics, I recall correctly. Or it can be someone you think looks exactly like you or anything in between. Like, Steph, who do you normally pick?
I usually go with Anne Hathaway, which is like the low-hanging fruit. Like,
she'd do a good job.
But I feel like maybe, like, nowadays, like, maybe the girl who was in The Prom might be a better fit. Like, the main lesbian in The Prom musical movie. You know, the main lesbian.
Not Kristen Stewart from, Happiest Season.
I mean, I just want to date Kristen Stewart from Happiest Season. She deserves me and not her bad girlfriend from Happiest Season.
God, what a mood. I'm having a difficult time with this because I can't think of a single Indigenous actress.
Fair.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Which is depressing as fuck.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So I'm going to say it'll be animated.
Excellent.
That's a totally fine answer. Actually, you've inspired me, so thank you for that. Not thank you to Hollywood for being so shitty that this question was hard, but thank you to you for being creative. What kind of style would you like it to be like? Would you lean towards like anime or something like stop motion, more abstract cartoony, or like how Family Guy and how the adult cartoons look? Not that probably, but you know, you're welcome to choose that. Do you have an animation style in mind?
Yeah, honestly, I've been watching a lot of Drawfee on YouTube recently, and because of that, I've gotten really inspired by the cover art for Metal Gear.
Okay.
So it's like heavy blacks and like incredibly like detailed like negative space and shading, and so that kind of, but
interesting.
And solid snake is dummy thick.
That's true.
That's so I've heard.
Yeah, so I want my animated person to have like an absolute like Pixar mom dump truck ass, but
in obviously that's the American dream.
It really is. Like squats aren't doing it for me, so maybe like an animator could. But like in contrast, very brightly colored.
So lots of like negative space, but like in a bright color.
Yeah.
Nice.
Something like neo-negative. That sounds like a cool term that should be used for something, and I don't know what, but I like that terminology.
You just made that up. Look at you.
I'm into it.
Cool. And, yeah. And
the flip side of that question, is if you could play any character or, like, historical figure from anything in a show or movie, what would it be?
Charlie Chaplin.
Cool.
Nice.
That was quick.
That was like the fastest anyone's ever come up with that answer.
Right now.
Do you
now,
have an affection hair, for Charlie
like,
Chaplin?
My hair is like very Charlie Chaplin right now.
Okay.
And so I think that's probably informing it. But I also did, in sophomore year of college, did a condensed version of Sweeney Todd that was 20 minutes long. And I played 7 different characters in that, one of whom, had the Charlie Chaplin tramp walk.
Amazing.
So that's something that I want to do again.
Nice. All right. Cool. And unless Steph has some other ones, we can close this up with...
Let's close it up. Let's do it.
Okay, cool, because I got one more then. And I think we always ask these two. Is there a crossover of any two properties that you would like to see, fictional or like historical people? So it could be like, I don't know, I tried to think of a cool historical figure and I just blanked on a bunch of terrible war criminals and presidents.
I think like 3 years ago us was like, you know, like Hamilton and Harry Potter, those two things that have aged like milk.
Oh,
yeah.
In the national discourse.
Yeah. So it could be that, or just like, you know, Flintstones meet the Jetsons, whatever strikes your fancy.
Okay.
It is really weird to think about how Hamilton meets Harry Potter would have been like, it was like a nice fun thing to think about like 4 years ago. Oh no.
Oh, see, it just means like nothing can be precious.
Yeah.
True. Okay. So I think one property would be Star Wars.
Okay.
Because I need to see more of Ahsoka Tano, who is like hands down my favorite Star Wars character. And I need to see her in more things. Crossed with, this is fun. This is gonna be a whole gap y'all have to edit out. I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's really it's easy to thinking do. No time. Worries.
I like that it's specifically like Ahsoka specific Star Wars. Like, we're not fucking around with like any other stuff. We want Ahsoka.
The Skywalker's done enough.
I don't care about the Skywalkers at all. I just need Ahsoka Tano to do things. Okay, let's see.
Kingdom Hearts, but with Ahsoka Tano.
Okay, Disney. Oh, like it can happen. Where is it? Why hasn't it happened yet? That would be cool. I wouldn't play it because I'm really bad at games and I only have a PS2. But I like the idea. I like where your brain's at with that.
Why hasn't Darth Vader met Sephiroth? Like they had like this could have
I need it. Oh my god. Okay. Oh god, why is this so hard? Why is this the question that's the hardest?
You were like Charlie Chaplin in like a second. Charlie Chaplin
in like 3 milliseconds, and I can't think of like what I would mash up with Star Wars.
It's the mark of a good question.
All right. Yeah. Star Wars with X-Men.
Okay. That's legit. Which also, again, could happen.
Would you put X-Men characters in the Star Wars world or vice versa?
So, I'm thinking, like, are the mutants Force users?
You could make that claim.
Yeah. So, I think that's how I would go with it.
Yeah, if Batman can beat Superman, then mutants are basically Force users. Like, I think you can make that stretch.
Absolutely. That's what I want.
Like, they just have more specialized Force specialties than, like, general telekinesis and other stuff. Like,
And also, like, a picture, like, the game. Like, Marvel versus Capcom happened. I want, like, Jedi versus X-Men, just because I want to see, like Wolverine or Rogue punch Obi-Wan.
That's like a whole spin-off like concept I wanted to do for something, and it wouldn't sustain a podcast or a YouTube series, but I'm like, Marvel versus Capcom, but instead of those two, what two things? And yeah, you just nailed it. Like, Jedi's versus mutants, like, assemble your team of three. It's like, okay, I'm gonna pick young Palpatine and Wolverine and Magneto, and that's gonna be my team. Yeah, that's it.
Yes. Like, ooh, okay. But what about Palpatine versus Rogue? Like, would be wild. And I mean, like, yeah. Post Carol Danvers Rogue, not like, not like, oh, I can just hurt people by poking them. No, like,
that's super just the punchy. Force.
Exactly. Oh, I need ooh. This now.
So I guess it depends on, yeah, which Palpatine. So are we talking about prequels Palpatine? Are we talking about regular Palpatine or sequels Palpatine? Because those are three whole ass different characters.
Three different people.
If Dragon Ball Fighters can have six Gokus, we can have three Palpatines. That's my new rubric for fighting games.
I think we need more Gokus, honestly.
Just, yeah, not enough Gokus.
Not enough.
There's Gokus that aren't even Gokus in that game. And that's... You understand that sentence. I feel bad for you.
Well, I feel like that's me. like I refer to like most of the like the Final Fantasy characters as like a bunch of Sasukes, like specifically Final Fantasy 15. The main, I think Noctis is his actual name, but like he just looks like in like video game Sasuke, and he travels around with a bunch of like beefy guys. It's like, I mean,
admittedly, I've only watched 3 episodes of Naruto. But in our
that's all you need.
Yeah, that was enough. Like, I watched enough to know who some of the characters are, and I watched just enough to be able to make fun of Izzy relentlessly anytime that they make a Naruto reference. That's all,
and that's all. That's all you need.
That's all you need. Excellent. Lee, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. It was a nice, fun chat, just going all over the place.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Anytime, for sure. Any questions you have for us? Anything you want to close out with? Or anything
you want to plug your pluggables?
Let me say, yes, I should plug my links.
Please do.
Yeah, so let me remember what they are. Cool. So I am on Facebook because I'm 300 years old. As Avant Garden Photography, and on Insta as I just changed it because I rebranded Avant Garden _art or Spicy Thicken Nugget.
I love that for you.
We will make sure to put your socials in the description when we post it, for sure. Very good.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah.
And Steph, do you want to hit our social media biz?
Yeah. So if you want to find our podcast on the internet, you can do that. You can find find us on Twitter at CharacterRev. You can find us on Instagram at CharacterReveal. You can find us on Facebook, because we are also 300 years old, by searching for Character Reveal. You can listen to the podcast in the podcast catcher of your choice by searching for Character Reveal. We're characterreveal.simplecast.fm in your browser. Dom is Brother Dom anywhere he wants to be found on the internet, and I am Captain Steph on Twitter and a variety of other things elsewhere.
Yep. And as always, we still are working with our awesome sponsors and Grinding Coffee Company. Check out the information in the description and use our offer code Character Reveal for a discount. Gotta plug the biz, but they're a great place. So yeah, that's everything. And you know, we don't want to hold you for too long, but once again, I want to say thank you.
Chinese food.
Yes, you do have dinner. But yeah, thank you so much for joining us, and we really appreciate it.
Thank you. You both have a great evening.
Thanks. You too. And listeners, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Character Reveal. We appreciate you all. Until next time, see you later.
Bye.